Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Amen. We have had ample opportunity in the last few months to see interesting revelations in the political world. One revelation that I have found is that when someone makes a strong statement of opinion and someone seems to disagree with them, it seems like somebody has to pay the price. We've seen resignation after resignation in our political world. Then if you wanted to move to a world that's maybe even more distant, when I was in prison ministry, we would work with the inmates that were Christians, wanted to be Christians, but they live in a world which is very stark and very different from our world. And it's very hard for them to see or hear this particular scripture, because if they don't make someone pay the price, they're going to get hit again and again and again. And then perhaps even if you look at some of the articles in, say, criminal justice, you read about families, you see them on television where someone gets convicted and the family says, okay, now we can move on. Why? Why couldn't they move on before? When they were victims, they're still victims. Someone has to pay the price. Even in Kenya, our diocese, our world in which we share with Bishop Zindi and Bishop Oshio, people didn't get what they expected. They didn't like what they saw, and people paid the price. Over 1,000 people died. I understand over 100,000 are still displaced. Someone had to pay the price. And as we move backward to AD 33, we can see some aspects of this. We didn't see it in this reading, but a little previous to this, when the soldiers came to get Jesus, in the Gospel of John especially, Peter draws his sword and he cuts off the ear of the slave of the great high priest. His name was Malchus. It's even named in the Gospel of John. And Jesus says something interesting. He says, shall I not drink the cup? Tells Peter, put the sword away. Shall I not drink the cup? And here we have the beginning of a marked contrast between what we see in our world and the kingdom that Jesus desires to bring to us. Shall I not drink the cup? And we even see it even starker in Jesus' responses to Pilate. In one phrase in there, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. And Pilate doesn't know what to do with that. He fumbles around. And finally, it seems like he is exasperated. He might be throwing up his arms, and he walks out saying, what is truth? A profound thing. We stand before the living God. Many of us, I hope most of us, even pray, all of us know there is a truth with a capital T. And Pilate can't see it. He struggles with it. He tries to get Jesus off the hook, but he can't. One gospel writer writes that the reason Caiaphas and the gang were so annoyed were that they were envious of Jesus. Imagine that, envious of Jesus. Jesus was very popular. And even looking at that situation there, what we have is we've got a Roman dictatorship, and Herod, I think, is king over it, probably bought his way in there, and he has to answer to Rome, and he's made deals with the Jews, and the Jews have made deals, some with good motivation, you know, want to keep worship going, but some with bad motivation, and evil motivation. And so we've got this stress, a very tense situation. On top of that, in chapter 13 of John, we found out it is Passover coming. I don't know if any of you are familiar with Passover. I mean, we're going to have a Seder meal, but I want you to see another picture. And I'm going to use a contrast. On Memorial Day weekend at Elephant Butte Lake in New Mexico, Elephant Butte becomes the second largest city in New Mexico. And you say, what does that have to do with it? It has to do with 200, 250,000 people converging on one spot at one time. That's Jerusalem. And they all have different expectations, and they have heard about Jesus, and their expectations are something is happening. We can sense the movement of God in this. Herod can't have that happen. Pilate can't have anything happen. The Jews can't have anything happen. Somebody's got to pay the price. It was Caiaphas who said, it is expedient for one man to die for the people. The people being Caiaphas and the high priest and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. But it sounded good, and it sounds even better perhaps for us as we view the long term of our history. The kingdom is different. You see, in the kingdom in which we live, perhaps we have moments of road rage. You ever cut somebody off, or maybe you accidentally cut somebody off, and then they pass you and they cut you off and stop or slow down. You know, you just say, you know, I want to pay. Maybe you don't. I hope you don't. But then how many of you have been driving along with somebody passing at 90 miles an hour on the interstate, and 3 miles later, they're pulled over by the police? And you say, yeah! I'm sorry. Well, you know what we're getting into is we're getting into our hearts. We're getting into our hearts. It may not be envy. It could be any of the other six. You probably have heard me use the term glass peg. It comes from Dr. Stephen Smith of Trinity. Glass peg. We got a little greed problem. We've got lust. We've got anger. We got sloth, which is laziness. We have pride, envy, and gluttony. Those are what traditionally have been the seven deadly sins. And in truth, perhaps a feeling is not a sin. I mean, because God gave our feelings to us. They tell us things about ourselves. But when we take action and we make people pay, we're in our world again. Jesus' world. Jesus says, may I drink the cup. And we see that when he has the crown of thorns on his head. Then Pilate takes him out and scourges him. I don't know if you know what a scourge is. It's not a plague. A scourging of a person is when they are whipped. And a whip is made especially to inflict major pain and damage. The tips of the whip are metal tipped, so it flays the flesh. Christ does this willingly. In no other gospel besides John do we have a definite picture that John is drawing, and because there is a contrast here. In other Gospels, somebody else helps Christ carry the cross. Not in the Gospel of John. Christ carries the cross. He willingly comes to be the sacrifice of our God. No human helps. There's nobody saying, oh yeah, you can do it, you can do it. No, that's Raymond Brown's two-volume work called Death of the Messiah draws this interesting contrast of John's gospel. And we can even see the prophetic roots of where Jesus is coming in this. This is called a servant song in Isaiah. It's either the third servant song or the fourth one. But he says, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We come to today see Christ and his kingdom, where Christ pays the price. The cost is paid. Can you drink the cup? Will you come confessing your sins and repenting and believing in the power of Jesus Christ to pay that price for you? Amen.